Amen. Thank you, Hannah. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. We call this first Sunday of the year, we call it our Vision Sunday. We want to be intentional about what God is working to accomplish in His church. We want to be purposeful, and the vision's not a slogan, it's a direction. It kind of answers the question, what does faithfulness look like for us right here and right now? And we realize as we start out this year, there's a million and a half different things that we can do. There's a lot of directions we could go, but a vision helps us choose the right things, the beneficial things. And so in Matthew chapter 5, I feel is where the Lord has directed us. We'll begin our reading in verse 1. If you found yourselves in Matthew chapter 5, and if you're able to, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Matthew chapter 5. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain, went to a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they, or are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but the salt had lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It shall be therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our vision for this year is simple, it's biblical, and it's demanding. Our theme this year is going to be, "Let your light shine." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the vision you placed upon this church, that, Lord, we truly, as knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel light has intersected our lives here. So, Lord, help us to let our light shine, that, Lord, we may go before our co-workers, our friends, our family, and that, Lord, they may glorify our Father which is in heaven. Lord, help us to understand better what you'd have for us this year. Lord, help us to push out distractions this morning. I know there's things in our hearts and there's things on my heart weighing today. But Lord, help us to dedicate our hearts fully to your word, the work that you're doing. Lord, let the Holy Spirit have free reign in your house. Lord, we just pray if there be anyone here who has never received that true light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today that they may hear the gospel and be saved. So, Lord, we turn the service over to you. May you have your perfect will and way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Would you please be seated? Let your light shine. I believe if we're going to do it and live this out together this year, there's a few things in this passage of Scripture that we need to understand. There's four things that Jesus teaches in this passage. And the first of which that we see very obviously in this passage is it gives us identity. It gives us identity. In verse 14, this is who we are. Jesus says, "You are light. You're the light. You are the light of the world, this dark world. You as Christians and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the light." Jesus isn't telling you to try and be the light. Do you catch that? He's not saying that. He says, "You are the light of the world." He's not telling you to be more charismatic. He's not telling you to, carry a moral supremacy and we'll just be better than everybody else or fake a smile. Like, I want you to walk into a room and just light it up because your presence is here. That's not what he's saying. He says, no, you understand, you are the light of the world. That's who you are. And we can maybe break this down a little bit better for us in Scripture. There'll be a couple of verses that will pop up on the screens behind me here. But in the Scriptures, God tells us that He is light in 1 John 1:5. That's what the Scripture tells us. He says, this is a message we have heard of him and declare on you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is that pure light. Jesus is the light of the world, the Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 12. That's what he says of himself. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the scriptures tell us. And so we understand the idea of God being light and Christ being light. And one thing that's kind of interesting is now he's telling this crowd here in Matthew 5, he says, ye are the lights. That's very interesting. And I kind of broke this down and looked it up. Well, who's he talking to? Well, some people say in chapter 5, he's only talking to his disciples and the multitude are listening. And, you know, I think he's talking really, I think it's pretty clear, he's talking to the multitude and they call them light. Wow, that's a lot. And if you look at this multitude, they have something in common. That's what we really want to find there. And even if I could maybe get a running start to Matthew 5 and even start looking at chapter 4 and verse 23, let's look at what they have in common. In chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So we have this crowd, and they're called, ye are the light. So what does this crowd have? What's one thing scriptures tell us? They're from different regions, they got different illnesses, they're following the one thing that they all have in Matthew 5, that Jesus says, you're the light, is they are all following Jesus. That's what it says. He has disciples, and he says they followed him. There are people that are following him, and they chose to deny themselves and follow Jesus. They had their jobs, they had their wants, they had their things to do, but every one of these, there's something special about that man. That man is light, and they follow Jesus, and Jesus says to them, you are the light. Because we have to realize in our own way, when we do our own thing, when we live and choose our own path in life, we're not going to produce any light of our own, are we? Okay, I don't know if I got that point across good enough. I can spend a little more time there if we need to. Your way produces no light. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. As you're turning there, you know, it's really interesting. On day 4 of creation, even though day 1, God said, let there be light, and day 4, he creates the sun, moon, and stars. And we're all familiar with the sun and the moon, aren't we? The sun is that wonderful thing that we'd like to see sometime this month. I think it goes to Florida, I think, this time of year. We would love to have that, so because you can walk outside and you can feel it. You can't even look at it. It's so pure and it's so bright, right? And then at night, you see the moon, right? The moon, we know, does not really have any of its own light, does it? The moon just reflects. And I've been out in the woods late at night. I've done runs through the night. And there are sometimes that moon shines so bright when it's a big full moon. It feels like it's closer. You don't even need a headlamp. You don't need a flashlight. Like it actually, in the middle of the night, it just shines so bright. But the moon itself has no light of its own. The sun goes out, the moon goes out, right? We all understand that? So we understand that, you know, if the moon were to go, you know what? I'm tired of it. By the way, the moon is very interesting how it has this, shows us the same side. It's almost a perfect orbit around us. I mean, it's really an amazing thing. Can you imagine one day the moon goes, yeah, I think I'm going to check out Jupiter for a while, right? I mean, I'll be honest with you, if the moon decides to do its own thing, it has no light of its own. But it's right where God put it. And when he said on day 4, here is the sun, here is the moon, and they're going to perfectly, I'm going to have a light for the day, I'm going to have a light for the night, and it's perfectly done. And what a great example that is of us. Because if we choose to do our own thing in life, I don't care what you choose, dedicate your life to anything, without following Jesus, it will produce no light of its own. There is no way to shine. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, this is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Understand, we have to walk with him. We have to follow him to be in the light, to reflect the light. In fact, in John chapter 3, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus by night, and he already said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In verse 19, he says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So light is not something that we turn on. It's the result of staying close to Christ. As Christians, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where our light is. We are the light because we get to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. So we get our identity from this text, but we also get the inevitability, right? This is why we can't hide. This is what's so really cool about this passage of Scripture right here, because it talks about a city set on a hill can't be hid. Probably the 2026, ooh, that felt weird saying, version of that is, if you ever go on a plane trip at night, you're in an airplane, the cities can't be, you can tell a city, sometimes you're flying, you're like, what is that? Is that Atlanta? You know, like you have no idea, but you know where the cities are because that's where all the light is at. And says, if you put a city up on a hill, it's going to have light. It can't be hidden. There's nowhere to hide it. And again, Jesus is just telling us, this is a statement of fact. This is not to be debated, right? You are the light. A city set on a hill, you can't hide it. They would talk about during World War II in Europe, there'd be different areas where they would the lights out in like London and all these areas, and they would put lights out in the field trying to fool the Germans. Go bomb that area, because at night coming in, what are you looking for? You're looking for light. Once there's light, you're going to find it. That's where you know what stuff's going on. A life lived by authentic faith eventually shows, whether we intend it to or not. You're following Jesus, guess what? It's going to show. You're swallowing Jesus, you're obeying him, you're in the Word of God, you're listening to the messages preached from his Word, you're spending time in prayer, guess what? It's going to show. And there's nothing you can do about it. I know we live in a day where somehow like people like, we got to be like, live like be like the world to win the world, which basically is like, be like darkness to win darkness, right? And that's not biblical and that's not Christianity. He says, you got to shine. And so you spend time with the Lord, hey, you're going to be different. You're going to be different. It's okay. This goes out through Scripture. Remember early on in Matthew chapter 4, what did Jesus say? He said, follow me, right? And I will make you fishers of men. Who's doing the fishing? You are. Who's making you a fisherman? He is. How? By following him. You're choosing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You staked your life. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I trust you as my Savior. I'm going to follow you as best I possibly can. Hey, guess what? You can't hide. You're going to be different. You're going to be the odd man at work out, okay? You're going to be the weird one at school. You're going to be different. I'm just telling you that right now. And this is a wonderful thing. I think that now that we talk about New Year's, this is such a perfect time because, I don't know, what is today? Today's the 4th, right? Has anybody already failed their New Year's resolution already? Anybody brave enough to say so? Liars. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know your New Year's resolutions. I don't know. I imagine like a lot of people are like, all right, we're gonna eat better. And it's like, well, we'll start after the weekend, you know? We'll start tomorrow, maybe. And you know, this is the time of year that, I'll be honest with you, I hate going to the gym this time of year because all the randos start showing up, you know, and they're starting to do their weird stuff. But they only last a couple of weeks because usually our New Year's resolutions don't last, right? Usually we forget about them like early on. Because why? We self-will ourselves to do something different, to break our habits. And we fail because we realize as strong as we think we are, we're really not that strong for the long haul. But here's the thing. If you follow Jesus, he will make you change. A real change. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a transformation from the inside out. The secret to change is follow Jesus. That's what you want to do. Well, I want to cuss less at work. I want to change my follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's the secret, because faith cannot remain private. And for us, this church can't be invisible. Following Jesus is going to change. I believe it already has. We've had our community, our township reach out to us in times of tragedy, in times of when they say, we don't know what to do. All of a sudden, they think of us, and we get to help, and we can do that sometimes. We can't be invisible. Now, understand this also. We follow Jesus. It's inevitable, right? You follow Jesus, people are going to notice. It's going to change you. And it may come with, because if you notice the context of the passage of Scripture, What is he talking about right before being salt and light? What's he talking about? Persecution. This world does not like light. The world does not like anything different than itself. Because light shines on things that aren't pleasant. I dropped my glasses on the side of the bed, and they slid underneath the bed. And I've only been in my bedroom for 1 year now, so I got a flashlight and looked under the bed. Yeah, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I just probably embarrass you a little bit. Not that we do you know what under a bed looks like? It's dusty. And there might be some cobwebs. And I'm like, I don't know. Also, I just wish I would have left the light off and just lived in ignorant bliss. Now I know there's spiders this far underneath me plotting my doom. I don't know. That's what the world likes the darkness. But following Jesus, it'll come at a cost. But listen, he also tells us this. He says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Understand that it's worth it. So we've talked about the identity and inevitability, but also the practicality. I love verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That's kind of interesting. I think, people say, well, Jesus didn't use humor. I think that's kind of funny. I think somebody would have chuckled in that crowd. I don't know the culture of that time, but like the idea of lighting a candle, which would have cost money. They didn't go to Bath and Body Works or wherever that place is and buy candles. I mean, a candle, right? And it was a resource. And can you imagine like lighting a candle? Okay, I'm going to hide under a bushel now. It was ridiculous, this idea. And we get the idea today because the power goes out in your house, which may have already happened this winter already. So you light a candle because you're old school like that. So the power went out. Honey, the power went out. Okay, I got a candle by my bedside, and I light the candle. Okay, I got it here. And then I just immediately put my pillow over it. Right? It's ridiculous. A candle is lit intentionally. And Jesus tells us a candle is placed intentionally, elevated, right? This is what he's saying in verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. So understand that he says, you are the light. Don't hide it. You're going to be seen. This is inevitable. Don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. You're all thinking the same thing too. This song. Hide it under a bushel. You guys don't know that song? This little light of mine? Okay. They're saying, don't sing. Got it. Okay. The bushel, what is that? Sometimes we hide our Christianity. We spent time with Jesus. Why would we hide that? That's what the world needs. And sometimes we dim our light. We hide our light. We hide it. Sometimes it's our comfort zone. I don't want to stick out. Sometimes it's our fear of rejection. Rejection is a terrible feeling, isn't it? It's awful. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want people to reject me because of who I am in Christ now. And sometimes it's our desire for approval. Sometimes we think our self-worth is on what other people think of us. If other people approve of our life, then all of a sudden we feel like we can approve of ourselves. But if we have Jesus, understand the world likes darkness. The world doesn't like that. Oh, you're one of those Jesus people. Oh. Oh, you go to church on Sunday. Oh. Oh. Oh, I don't know if I want to hang out with you if you're one of those people. We can't go fishing. I'm sorry, because you're one. And Jesus is saying, hey, that's ridiculous. Don't hide your light. Just let it shine. Follow Jesus. Follow him. Get up in that candlestick. Listen, we need to follow Jesus, not a political party. We follow Jesus. Not even a particular denomination. I got to tell you, sometimes as Baptists are funny people, because sometimes you believe things. You say, why do you believe that? I don't know, because my pastor told me a long time ago. Where's the verse for that? I don't know. But it's true, Pastor. Okay, all right, back off. Listen, let's just follow Jesus. Let's just follow Jesus, because that's where the light's going to be. Let's just follow Jesus. It's funny that also in verse 15 it says, we don't hide under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Giveth light unto all that are in the house. That tells me that the light is for the benefit of others. Did you catch that? God didn't save you so you could hide him from those around you. And here's the thing. What did he say? Verse 16, let your light. Just let it. Let your light shine. It takes more work to hide a light than it does just let it. It would take more. These spotlights around me right now and these lights are above you, they're just doing their thing. It's taken no work. But if I were to try to hide all this, I'd have to get under a bushel. I gotta hide. That takes work. Oh, my goodness. I'm okay. Who moved that step? I've only been up here for 21 years. So I've figured this out. It takes work to hide those things. And that's what he's saying. Just let it shine. What is it? What is letting our light shine too, by the way? We've kind of skirted around that issue. We've talked about our identity and our inevitability that if we're spending time with the Lord, we're gonna shine, and we've just talked about the practicality. But like, what is that really? What do you mean shine? I mean, obviously we're not radiant. Okay, well, some of you are, but you know, most of us not. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I believe what the scripture's telling us here. I mean, what he's gone on in chapter 5, but taking a bigger swipe at that, is just having Christ-like character. We tend to model or behave like those we spend time with. You remember how old couples, they just grow together and they become like one gelatinous blob? Like they act the same, they say the same things. Like, that's my goal in marriage. That's what I want. I want to be the same. My kids, they act all nerdy like me because we've spent time together. That's just the way it is. And so we spend time, Lord, you know, maybe we're going to let our light shine by something happens in your life and you're going to respond with patience, not anger. I don't know if, obviously, Jesus didn't have a driver's license, but I don't think that he's going to have road rage, right? So I think we spend time with him. I think we'll just probably respond in situations like that. Or I think that when the world is going sideways and crazy and you wake up every day and go, let's see what happened in the world overnight, you know, like, oh, we invaded this country, cool. Like, whatever's going on in the world, I think as Christians, we just don't get ourselves all worked up in a tizzy about everything because we know God's in control. I don't have to be worried about that. I think the world looks at you and they go, why aren't you worked up in a tizzy right now? You know, the economy and inflation and world peace, all these things. And you just go, my God's got it under control. Listen, storms will come, but he'll get me through them. I don't have to worry about these things. God's in control of my life. And people look at that. That's your light shining. We show faith when others are panicking, when others are just led by anxiety, by the leash. And we go, I don't have to feel that way. I think it's integrity when we show forgiveness when things aren't deserved, when people don't deserve it, we still forgive them anyways. I think it's showing love without expecting anything back in return. That's Christ-like character. Why would you care? You know, we were, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we were in Auburn Hills, and there was a person begging for money. I don't even know. And one of my boys made a kind of a snide comment. And it really bothered me in that moment. And we went right there and said, you know, the Bible says that you don't turn your ear away from those in the poor. That's something that we don't know. We can't judge their life. But we have to have compassion like Christ has. But the world will make you cynical, won't it? We want to make sure that we keep the compassion of Christ. How about godly speech? The way we talk, there is a movement in Christianity today that I absolutely hate. There is a movement in Christianity that sees nothing wrong with cussing and using foul language. I hate that. I think Christians, James says there should not be blessings and cussings coming from the same, cursing coming from the same mouth. The same lips that we say Jesus Christ is Lord ought not to have four-letter words coming after that. But you know, I'm telling you, when we go out into our workplace just to fit in because that's the way everybody talks, you know what we're doing? We're putting our light under a bushel. And we're hiding it. We ought to have things like, how about our work ethic? You know, talk about work ethic today. I know I'm going to sound like an old man now, but you know, people, fast food workers, they got AirPods in their ears and stuff like that. That drives me, I know, I'm just being an old man. I know, it's all on me, it's not them. But here's the thing. Work ethic has gone out the window. What happened to doing everything as if unto the Lord? Well, you understand, my job's not that important. Do it unto the Lord. Do it to the best of your ability. Because your boss will look at you and go, why are you different? Why are you different? And they're going to see, I'm going to tell you why I'm different. Because I have a Heavenly Father. It makes me different. I want to bring on His character in my life. Being dependable, being trustworthy. Visible obedience to Scripture, not culture. That's what we're talking about. We shine. We're going to spend time with Jesus. We're going to reflect Jesus in our own lives. And we're going to be different. I want to be really, you know, it's amazing that how the world's kind of, everybody gets upset about everything nowadays. And Scripture tells me that if I have the Lord as my shepherd, I can go through the valley of the shadow of death and still fear no evil. So whatever you're going through, you don't have to be afraid. Why? Because I have the Lord with me. Don't be afraid of being lumped in. Oh, man, we hear this in the news all the time. Radical religion. Ooh, we don't want to be that. I want to be a radical Christian. I do. That means being radically like Jesus. That means loving others radically. being a peacemaker radically. That means healing, helping people radically, having radical compassion for the world around us. And ultimately, even when the world reviles us and turns against us, we radically turn the other cheek. And we radically love. Now listen, not every religion can say that, because those religions are based off of man, and at the end of man is flesh. And so if you chase those out radically, it ends up with death and destruction. But Christ is different. He's not Muhammad. He's not Confucius. He's not Buddha. He's the Son of God. Amen. And if we radically follow him, we can be as much like as character as him, and there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. So we talk about the practicality, but let's talk about the purpose. Why light exists? In verse 16, he tells us, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Here's what he's saying. We follow Jesus. The rest takes care of itself. Let fly what comes naturally. We're going to follow Jesus. He manifests up. We reflect him. And just let that go. Don't hide it. Put it up on a candlestick. God will elevate you. Just be that Christ-likeness, that light in somebody's life or wherever you're planted. Good works are seen. And when good works are seen, God gets the glory. Amen. Why are you not panicking right now? Because I trust God. He gets the glory. How did you get through this thing? What is going on? Because I trust God. Jesus has been everything to me, and he gets the glory, and he gets the glory, and he gets the glory. Light points away from the disciple and upward to the Father. Light can't go inward, it has to go outward. That's where light shines out as we go forth. Our lives say that God is real and God is good. And by the way, that is the message this world needs to hear today in darkness. Hey, there is a God. He's real and he's good. We are not the light to glorify ourselves. This is where it gets hard. This is where it gets a little tricky. Verse 5 again, let your light shine. Man, let your light shine. Woo, shine, woo. And then we get to chapter 6. You see chapter 6? Go turn to chapter 6. Let me read a little bit in chapter 6. Verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Wait a minute. It just said, let my light shine before men. And now he says, hey, when you give, be careful you don't give before people. Huh? He says, be not seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Wherefore, verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may see of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Wait a minute. It seems like chapter 5 and chapter 6 are going two different directions. But you understand, here's the difference right here. And this happens so much. In chapter 6, a self-shining. Can you imagine that? This is the trumpet sound. Can you imagine just a moment while the offerings come through? And can you imagine just for a moment, it's time for Dave Alonzi to put his offering. You know, everybody look, and there we go. And yes, I am the, you know. That's between you and the Lord. That's what that is. That's between you and the Lord. Listen, you're trying to get yourself the glory. The glory is when God gets all the glory. The same thing of praying. Everybody watch me pray. And also we pray in like an ancient, archaic King James language now. Lord, thou knowest that I am upright. And are you praying to impress people? Or are you trying to connect with God? You see, there's a difference. And this is what happens. And so there's a difference between a Matthew 5 and a Matthew 6. And this happens so much, the self-shine glory. But God will help you to shine, but then you take all the glory. And God says he's not going to share his glory with you. And in every situation you walk into, you think, how can I come out of this shining? Something bad happens. Maybe you messed up. How can I still come out of this looking good? And when a circumstance comes into your life, can I challenge you to refrain this year from thinking, how can I come out of this still looking good? How can I glorify God in this? How can I shine in this circumstance so that he receives the glory? I'm not talking about just bad things exterior happen, so all of a sudden you find out you're sick, and you know, and when you're sick, you go, oh, woe is me, and I'm so scared, and in hospital, or you say, I'm going to trust God in this, and God's been faithful, and he's helping me through it. But I'm talking about the times you trip and fall in sin. I've seen this happen. I've seen people go two different ways. They mess up and they lie and they hide and they run, or they get honest, they don't cover their sin, they handle things the right way. And I'm going to tell you what, God gets the glory. I'm telling you, God gets the glory if we do the things the right way. You see, these two are not compatible. They're always going to cause friction. If you're trying to make yourself look good, Jesus says, what do you call it? He says, hypocrite, he said in the scripture there. That's what we're accused of all the time anyways as Christians. And only Christians, churches are just full of hypocrites. They're full of hypocrites. And they're right most of the time. We tend to be. So we want to shine. People see us. Pat me on the back. Look what I've done. Give me the glory. And it's always going to cause friction. I think one of the hardest things I've had to do as a father, my kids are still young, so give me a little bit of grace, but the hardest thing I think I've ever had to do as a father has been, my wife does such a good job promoting me. I come home, the kids, oh, daddy can do no wrong. Daddy has never messed up ever in his life, you know? And so the kids just love me. And they shoveled the driveway for me. Thank you, Lord. They're old enough to shovel driveways. It's the greatest thing ever, especially this year. And I said, boys, you shoveled the driveway so good. And then my son said something almost under his breath, and it just stabbed me to the heart. He said, I'm so happy when you're pleased with us. And that cut me because I had to stop, and we were in the car, and we had to have a conversation right then and there. And I said, you know, son, I'm going to tell you, I said, my fear is you're going to grow up someday, and you're going to realize you did everything you could to get my attention and please me, and you're going to be sitting on some therapist couch somewhere talking about your life went wrong because you were looking up to your dad and your dad failed you and your dad was wrong. I said, look, son, your dad is a very flawed man, okay? Your dad has made a lot of mistakes and will continue to make mistakes, son. You have to understand that. So anything good dad does is because of what God has allowed him to do, okay? So don't set your life on shining dad. Dad is just reflecting. And every time there's a good light coming through, dad is reflecting light from Jesus. Don't look to dad. Don't set your whole life up because I just want to please dad. I want to be on dad's good side. It's all about dad and dad. No. Listen, there's nothing wrong with wanting to please your dad, but when that becomes your God and your idol, there's something wrong. And so I'm going to let you down. I'm going to fail you. In church, I'd say the same thing to you. I don't think anybody here looks to me as an idol or anything like that, but that's other churches, not ours. But I'm just saying, listen, if I can do anything right, if there's anything right said in the pulpit, if there's anything right done in counseling, anything right, listen, it's just reflecting from God. He is so good. Don't set your, me, I will let you down and I will fail you, okay? So please help me in that. That's one of the hardest things, a father, to have that conversation. But see, the measure of true light is not who notices, but who glorifies God. It's not about, oh, I come to you, oh, you did a good, no, it's who glorifies, praise God, what he's done in your life. You see, if we take Jesus seriously, then as a church, we don't hide the church to stay, or hide the truth to stay comfortable. We don't live our faith only inside these walls. If we're going to let our light shine, it must be outside these walls also. We don't measure success by applause, but by faithfulness. Our light is meant to shine in our homes, our workplaces, our communities, and even our relationships. And this year, we're committing to not just believe the truth, but we want to live it outside visibly. But here's the truth. You can't shine light that you do not possess. I just mentioned everything is about reflection, right? You are the light. You're following Jesus. You are the light. Stephen Hawking, he was a very genius physicist. He died a few years ago. And he said this later in his life. He got really more against Christianity and religion. And he said that religion is a fairy tale for those who are afraid of the dark. But the reality, it was quoted back to him, that you have it wrong. Atheism is a fairy tale for those who are afraid of the light. Jesus is the light. Amen. And when much people want to cross it out and say there is no light, the reality, he is there, and we are his ambassadors, reflectors. We are the light to this world now. That means we don't have a choice to go and do things our way. The Bible tells us we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Astray from what? Astray from the shepherd, astray from the light. We've walked away from the light, and all that's left is darkness. Now listen, you can follow this detail anywhere out in our world today. You can follow this out. We used to have in our schools, there used to be prayer, there used to be Christianity. We've taken the light out of school, and we wonder where all the darkness is coming from. we've taken the light out of government. My wife and I, we were at the Capitol many years ago, over a decade ago, the Lansing Capitol in Michigan, and the senator was telling us how they worked so hard to take the Ten Commandments out of the building. It was in granite somewhere. They took it all out. And now we're wondering why our government is so full of darkness, because we keep putting in people who aren't light. We keep voting for darkness, and we wonder why there's darkness. And so we understand that no matter where we've taken the light away and we pulled the light back, oh, we don't want to offend anybody, we just kind of pull the light back, we wonder why there's darkness left. And sin has blinded us, has separated us from God. But aren't you so thankful God didn't leave us there? Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came into the world, stepped into our darkness, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again so that his light could shine in our hearts. You know, before you're called to shine the light, you first must receive the light. And if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I just pray today you'd come to the light. If you're tired of darkness, find the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a fairy tale, I can guarantee you that. You come to him and follow the light, come to the light, follow the light. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to find the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yep. Lastly, if I can maybe illustrate this just a little bit further. You know, we talked about on the fourth day, Jesus made the sun and he made the moon. And the moon is about a third the size of the earth, and the sun is just a million times bigger. But it's amazing that there's those certain days where everything lines up. And somehow it's just amazing that we get the sun and the earth and the moon, how they all kind of line up. It's weird. And then we have these times where the moon doesn't shine, right? And it's not like the moon got turned off and had no power to it. What do we call those? We call those lunar eclipses, right? What is a lunar eclipse? It's when the earth gets between the sun and the moon, and it shines a perfect shadow. And so I want to say, as Christians, maybe here today where we were talking today, maybe the Lord kind of pricked your heart a little bit, and you said, you know, I just feel like I'm the light, and I feel like I've come so short. That I know I'm saved, and I know that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I just feel like I haven't been the light. I just feel like, where's the light? And can I just suggest to you, possibly, maybe, could it be that, you know, the world has gotten in between you and the Lord. Something has gotten in between, and now you're not shining because there's going to be no... Listen, there's no other way around it. There's no workarounds. There's nothing. The only way is, again, we dip nothing between your soul and the Savior. You separate whatever needs to be out of the way, whatever it may be in your life, whether it be a hobby, whether it be a sinful habit, whatever it may be that you are, even your schedule, if there's something there that's blocking your connection of following Jesus. Don't let the world in between you following Jesus. Just follow Jesus and let him let you shine. And listen, I'm not talking about work. You know, I hope there's no one here going, oh man, last year was about running, this year is about shining. No, he says you are the light. You don't have to do anything to be the light. Just follow Jesus. Don't let anything in the way. That's what you got to do. Clear everything out of the way. Let there be a perfect light beam. Let there be no shadows on that light, no variableness. Let there be perfect light. And as you go through this world, he's just going to change you. Just let Jesus live through you out loud. And that's what we're going to do as a church this year. We're going to step out, we're going to go a little bit further this year in making sure that we can be a lighthouse to this community. Now, I have no idea how Hannah knew the theme, how she picked that song, The Lighthouse, today. I did not tell her. Pastor Josh, I think, was the only one that knew. Did you tell her to sing Lighthouse? You did, okay. You know what? This would have been a really cool illustration if you wouldn't have messed it up. Good job, Pastor Josh. Sometimes you need the Holy Spirit, sometimes you just need Pastor Josh. I think that this message is over in just a second. I'm going to close in a hymn of invitation. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I encourage you. We won't embarrass you, but you can step out and you can come forward. We have a hymn. Nobody will be looking around. I'll have everybody stand and we were about. But maybe for the Christian that's here today and you realize that there's been a shadow, you know, some of you aren't shining today because the world got between you and Jesus. We need to do something about that.